Welcome, everyone, into the JSOnline.com Packers podcast, along with Tom Silverstein. I am Jim Ozarski, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and PackersNews.com. We are here at the edge of the sword, I guess, for the roster and this last Skipner. Preseason game. Yeah. I'm back from Canada, 80-yard field, but they didn't shorten my trip. No, so
that must have been a heck of an experience, huh?
It was. Tom, I think it was stranger than canceling the game.
Yeah.
They fundamentally altered the rules of football.
Yeah.
So, and they offered no explanation for that.
Yeah, it sounded terrible. Talking to the players, you were there, and we're on the field. I just talked to some players the other day, and they were saying that even though it was field turf, it was really tight. It was it didn't have as much give as they were used to on their field. And a lot of the veterans did not feel like they should play on that surface, which is even beyond the two holes in the middle of the field, which they said was pretty, or not the middle of the field, middle of the end zone, which a couple of them said it was pretty bad.
Yeah, to go from the Hudson Center to what the Blue Bombers play on, it's definitely a difference. I think that it's like they call it a first-generation field turf. Mm-hmm. Justin McCray just flat out said it's harder.
Yeah.
So it was a very strange scene. Winnipeg treated me well, though. Mm-hmm. The Packers fans there opened up to myself. Mm-hmm. So thank you, listeners, for those who shouted at me and said hello. So, to spin it into this next game, Tom, there was no starters played. Elton Jenkins, Lane Taylor didn't play. So that was one roster battle that kind of had to be put on pause,
yeah,
to a degree. So let's start there, because there's the kicking game, no kickoffs,
and no field goals either.
Really, yeah. So I guess let's start there, because those are starting positions and positions that will directly affect what's going on in the season opener in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Do Lane Taylor and Elton Jenkins play a bunch? What, or do we glean anything from who does or doesn't play Thursday night?
I gotta think they're gonna play. I don't think it would be a lot. I think at this point they know quite a bit about both guys. It's possible they want. Well, I don't really even think they need to get Lane Taylor on film if they're trying to trade him. I think most teams know enough about him, if they're going to go with Jenkins, that they don't need to play him a ton. If they're not going to play the starting offensive line, then I guess I would play Jenkins a little bit just because of the inexperience. But I think if he's not starting or not playing, then we have a pretty good idea that he's won the job. That's my gut feeling, is that if he doesn't play, then they're saving him for the opener. Yeah. Because why else would you not just, if Lane Taylor was, really the your guy, then they're probably going to sit all their ones. So why wouldn't you sit him too?
Yeah.
So if they both play, it's up in the air. If Jenkins doesn't play, I feel like then it's over.
Great. And this is a good opportunity to let you guys know, Tom and I will be back a couple at the end of this week, too, as we'll get into some roster 53-man projections. And, of course, yeah, so, we'll get into some of that hypothesizing, I guess, with the 53 at that point. But, with the kicking game, Brian Gutekunst said on Tuesday, he feels the competition has been good and he feels Sam Ficken can kick in this league. And, I don't know. I guess I haven't seen much in practice with short field goals. And now that we haven't been able to see, we don't know if they're mm-hmm. what it looks like inside the Hudson Center or Ray Nitschke Field.
Yeah. Just from what I've seen, Crosby hasn't done anything to lose his job.
Right.
I asked Gutekunst about the possibility that whoever loses the job, kicking job, could be kicking for the Bears on Thursday night. And he laughed and but said, you know, things he's learned from Ted Thompson is you worry about your own team first. So my guess is he'll pick the guy he wants. And really, you know, the prospect of keeping two kickers just doesn't make a lot of sense unless you're just certain that the Bears are going to take him, you know, are going to pick him up. So if I had to guess, I would say Crosby will be their kicker and Ficken will be on the street.
Here's one question, and maybe this will play in a little bit later in the week, Tom, but Lane Taylor and Mason Crosby do make several million dollars.
Mm-hmm.
does that matter, all things being equal, or does it help tip the scales to a degree, like maybe it did with Mike Daniels, or is $3 million versus a minimum salary that much different than $8 million versus, you know, giving Dean Lowry a few, you know, a raise?
Yeah, I don't believe that it affects them. I think they have plenty of cap room to do whatever they want to do. Now, if they're certain that you know, Mason Crosby and Ficken are equal, and then maybe you do just go with the guy who, I think it would be more about going with the guy of the future than going with the guy who is who you know about the most. So I just don't think money needs to be an issue in this. It's not like we're talking about $10 million a year guys.
Yeah. So in terms of Thursday night, Luke Getsy over the weekend felt the backup quarterback competition was close. Brian Gutekunst reiterated that on Tuesday. I think every indication we've been given publicly is that they do feel it's close. Mm-hmm. And that while I know Pete Doherty thinks Tim Boyle has won the job, I know some others on the media thought the second quarter against Oakland and Winnipeg was one of the better backup QB performances in a recent Packers preseason and Tim Boyle. But do you have a sense? I mean, is it truly, is a job going to be won Thursday night, or are they just keeping two guys?
I don't know if it's won Thursday night.
Okay.
But they'll give, I believe Boyle's ahead too. I don't think you can argue with production. Production is the bottom line. I stated this before, and I'll state it again, that anytime you see a third-string quarterback, and I don't care if he's playing against the threes or the twos, he's playing with twos and threes. If he can get the ball in the end zone, then there's something good about him. And Boyle's been pretty consistent in getting the team to the end zone, and Kizer hasn't. So all I could think of is that Kizer just goes nuts on Thursday night, and they decide to keep both. But if I were a betting man, I would say Boyle's the guy and Kizer's on the street.
Interesting.
So and yeah, Manny Wilkins would be the practice squad guy.
That's fascinating. It's probably one of the more interesting things. Normally, I'll be honest, Tom, I mean, even when I was in Cincinnati, and maybe it was because they had A.J. McCarron, mm-hmm. and they, even though he was a young guy, because he won so much in college, there was mm-hmm. no, and he had such a poise, there was never a question about the backup,
mm-hmm.
you know, if the starter went down. Where it's interesting here, I don't know if Tim Boyle can win a game.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess we know, though, that DeShone Kizer hasn't, yeah. And maybe that's the difference.
Yeah, and I'll take my chances with Tim Boyle. I feel like he could. Well, I guess I agree with you. I don't know whether he can win a game, but you got to go with the guy who's performed the best, and he's young enough that, oh, they're only a year apart, but he's still young enough and green enough that he's got to have more upside. And Kizer, I mean, he's been through 3 years, one as a starter, one as a playing backup, and there's not much to show for it.
Yeah.
So eventually you have to say, okay, what do we have? And so, you know, all you're looking for is a guy who could win one game two games if something happens to Rodgers. If Rodgers is out for an extended period of time, their season's over anyways.
Right. So what I'll frame this next sort of roster battle question. I'm going to ask you maybe what you're going to be looking for Thursday, what fans can watch. But I want to put it through this lens. Josh Jones was released, mm-hmm. a second-round pick. Brian Gutekunst says, hey, it's just not a fit. And in not so many words, it wasn't just a fit on the field that didn't quite work there. Jason Spriggs waived injured. Kendall Donerson waived injured, Goody's first draft pick mm-hmm. that he's cut ties with. There's a Dexter Williams. There's Ty Summers at the bottom of this draft class. There's recent draft picks, too, that are in some battles. What are you looking for, and do you think Goody is as cold as he appears to be? Could Dexter Williams be cut for a Trey Carson or a Keith Ford? Could Ty Summers be cut for if they think Curtis Bolton is going to play? How are you viewing kind of those battles on Thursday this week?
Well, a lot of it has to do one with them and the other with how other teams view their guys. Dexter Williams versus Trey Carson is an interesting race. Trey Carson is ahead of Dexter Williams, as they've said, and I think it's kind of apparent, but I don't know that he'd be ahead of Dexter Williams come November. So I have a feeling that Dexter Williams will be on the roster. I think he did enough against Oakland. He just can't have a two-fumble game, two-drop game, or something like that against Kansas City. If he continues on an upward trajectory, then I think he makes it ahead of Carson. As for their other draft picks, Summers, that's real iffy. I know they don't have anything at inside linebacker. They're really short there. I do think Oren Burks will be back within the first month of the season. I'm not sure when exactly, but, I don't know. I don't know. In some degree, I also like Brady Sheldon. I mean, he's a big guy who has made some decent plays in there, and I don't know if his upside is bigger than Summers. Summers has missed a lot of tackles. So that's something I guess we'll see a little bit more of. I want to watch a little bit more of Sheldon. I want to focus on him some, see if he's a possibility. That's for the rest of the draft picks, I think they're fairly safe.
I guess Kingsley Keke would be the interesting
I think he's a lock. Okay. He's got some talent. Dude's got
some
power.
So he's left over like a Fadol Brown, a guy that they liked showing out a little bit at the end of last year.
Yeah, I don't know if right now he's a better player, but he's a guy you got to keep around because I think he's got a lot of potential. Okay. He's quick and powerful, and I don't know how much that sixth defensive lineman is going to play anyways, because they're going to probably play a ton of nickel, and it'll just depend on injuries. They're going to use Darius Smith in the middle in nickel situations. I don't know how many defensive linemen they'll keep. They could conceivably go with four or five.
Yeah, this is I'll tease again our upcoming podcast because I have some interesting thoughts on the roster construction mm-hmm. going forward. So stay tuned. Friday morning, I think we'll get that up, very not Thursday night. But you mentioned Brady Sheldon. I'm going to go back to him a little bit in the context of Tim Boyle. Mm-hmm. And production matters. Now, the one interception he had stripped against Houston, he's a guy who has had interceptions back to OTAs. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who's been around the ball. He's big and can run. He's interesting to me in that way, as an undrafted guy who came from a different organization.
Yeah,
an older guy. So he doesn't quite fit the profile that you would normally think of for a guy no one's ever heard of.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't, I guess, is that one of those where injury creates opportunity to
probably,
a degree?
Yeah. Probably.
I'm
kind
not saying
of a
he's
going to
be a starter, but honestly, he could be on the active 46. If you look at that inside linebacking position.
Yeah, and they're going to need guys for special teams. Right. Those backup inside linebackers have to be special teams guys. It'll be interesting to watch. I'm going to be watching those two guys, Summers and Sheldon, quite a bit in this upcoming game.
I guess roster-wise, I mean, I'm sure people are screaming right now, are we going to hit the receivers? I mean, Alan Lazard, hit his head, upper body. I mean, he's been out of practice.
Yeah, that's a tough break for him. He really needed to be around this week, and he's leaving the door open for Shepard. I mean, it's not his fault.
Right.
But the door is open for Shepard to move ahead of him, or if they're even jump ahead.
So is this a situation now with Equanimeous St. Brown with a high ankle sprain? You know, we've been told it's definitely going to trend towards that 6-week end of the injury.
Yeah.
You know, usually it's a 4 to 6 week, which means he probably can't play.
Yeah, they'll put him on injured reserve.
So that, but after, you know, for people, yeah, think Jay Kumor last year, guys. They'll have to carry him through the 53, put him on IR. That means they are going to have to cut a receiver and hope. So has Lazard shown enough? I guess that's the game, right? Shepard or Lazard? I don't think Alan Lazard, with the film he has, goes unclaimed. I think he's a guy who another team might say, you know what, he's better than the number six we have. Whereas, frankly, because he's 6'3", 200-something pounds, whereas Darius Shepard was a tryout guy. Like, no, now, granted, he has shown, but people go back to their draft grades. I mean, no one even wanted him as a UDFA.
Yeah, there's two ways to look at Lazard. One is that he's very similar to the type of guy they already have. Now, I would say similar to Equanimeous St. Brown. So from that standpoint, okay, then you get another Equanimeous St. Brown until he's back. On the other hand, he's hurt. And if you cut him, you know, someone has to claim him and then deal with his injury. That, okay, are you going to put him on your 53-man roster and he's hurt right away for week one? I don't know. That might be an advantage where they can cut him. I don't know that they would want to do an injury settlement with him, because I think you can't sign him for 3 weeks after that. But regardless, I think that does give him an opportunity to sneak him through and then get him back.
Okay.
Just because he's injured, and I can't imagine a team claiming a guy who's injured. We just don't know enough about his injury.
Right.
He seems like he's okay, but I don't know if he's in the concussion protocol. I don't know if he's got a upper body injury or what. So that's something we have to...
So do you think Thursday night is Darius Shepard's time, or can Jamon Moore somehow get back in, or has that ship sailed? We're talking about draft picks who might, you know, no longer be on this team.
Jamon Moore has a tremendous amount to make up. You know, this would have to be coming down the stretch, a miracle run. Just, you know, he would have to be out of his mind good in this game. And I just think I don't see that happening. It's just not the trend. You know, Shepard is trending upward. He continues to make some really nice catches, and he has backup return ability. You know, I still think Trevor Davis will be their returner, but he gives you that kind of ability, and you know, I think there's a chance he could make it. I also do think there's a chance both Lazard and Shepard could get cut, but that we'll talk more about that on Friday when we start to see how the roster shapes up, when we start to make some predictions on the roster.
So in terms of final kind of roster, you know, evaluations, and Brian Gutekunst said the final game does matter to him. He said guys have made the team based off the last game.
Yeah.
He says across the league he'll see a guy. So there's kind of a log jam, in my opinion, in the middle of the offensive line with a bunch of guys who, you know, I think Cole Madison, again, I don't know if it's good or bad for him that he's been hurt now and out. if that's the same type of situation where he's not ready to be on the 53, but perhaps his history and now being hurt helps him get to the practice squad.
Or they put him on IR and just right. let him have a redshirt
another
year.
I guess for me, Tom, Thursday, can the back end, can the secondary be flushed out, or do you think?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I would look for in the Kansas City game. One is settling what I think is a battle between Natrell Jamerson, Sullivan, and Will Redman. Now, there's either going to be one of those guys or two of those guys on the roster, and because they're versatile guys that can play safety and slot. And so I want to watch that. I think Sullivan's in the lead. I think he's proved to be the best of the three, but Will Redman's been pretty solid too. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on that one. Corner, well, that is partially corner. I want to see Kadar Holman play again a little bit. Offensive line, I don't know if there's that much I need to see anymore. We've seen pretty much everything that needs to be seen. Receivers, just see Shepard again. And the quarterbacks. So, and the two inside linebackers. That's pretty much what I'm going to be watching on Thursday.
Yeah, so I think we're all in that boat. I mean, this with the high draft picks, the free agent acquisitions, I think Brian Gutekunst tried to set Matt LaFleur up with a pretty solid 12 or 13 on defense to start, which we kind of know already. And I think same on offense, aside from the right guard spot, the left guard spot. But clearly they feel good with either. So I think you're right. It's more this depth and back end type of things, which I guess if you're listening to this and you're trying to be interested Thursday night, these are the things you should be watching that we're interested in.
Yep.
At least two. So yes, definitely come back. We will post again early Friday morning. We'll have the live blog going on Saturday. We'll cut down day. So all of us here at PackersNews.com, of course, Tom, myself, Olivia Reiner, Ryan Wood, Pete Doherty, we'll all be hitting it hard on Saturday. And then right away, Tom, Sunday is Wednesday.
Yeah, Sunday is their first
practice. So they're going right into Bears week. So you're going to be hearing from us quite a bit, actually, in the next
weekend.
Seven calendar days, basically, 10 calendar days. So be sure to, obviously, subscribe, jsonline.com. Download and subscribe to the Packers News app. Especially this week, guys, turn on your push notifications, because if there's a trade, if there are other roster moves, if things happening, you definitely want to know and be apprised. So download, subscribe, that, turn that on. And Tom, this is it.
Okay.
We're going to get some real football here soon.
Yep, let's do it. We'll talk to everybody on right after the Kansas City game.
Yep, see you guys soon. Thanks.